Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, worship team. And just great to be here. Pastor Kevin, I think maybe family's all sitting right here. Okay, right? So if I mess something up for your dad, I'm sorry. He asked if I'd help out today, and glad to do so. Used to drive through Thiever Falls a lot on my route to Bemidji until the interstate got faster. So been through here a lot. Remember when your church was on the other side of the river? And when you bought this school. And I've been in your building once before, and it was for Pastor Kevin's ordination council. Just a privilege to be here at that time. So I'm grateful to be with you today. And just kind of wondering if Pastor Kent Hudson's in the room. We're related, we think. My grandma pronounced our last name that way because she couldn't say Hodgson. So we joke about the fact that we might be related, but he's a dear friend as well. I bring you greetings from our church in Bemidji, the Evangelical Free Church there, where my wife and I are members and in leadership, and today we're burning our mortgage. So, I don't know if you've gotten to do that here when you bought this elementary school and built this beautiful facility, but they're having fun there today with fire, burning that. So our denomination has a group of pastors that meet by clusters, and this Northwest Minnesota cluster, including your church staff, come over to our church and meet with the others from our region. Fertile, Bagley, even a Black Duck, and some a little further south. So that's how I have had the privilege to get to know Pastor Kevin and Pastor Kent, and before them, Pastor Bruce and Pastor Mel as well. So, and if you go way back, I know Pastor Kevin Complin. Anybody remember him? Think he was from here? It's funny, other E-Free churches, I'll mention him and ask who has been our Evangelical Free Church president, and they'll look at me with blank stares. And when I say his name and that he's from your town, they're like, really? So apparently we didn't brag about that too much back then, but he's a dear friend, and that goes back to Cooperstown Bible Camp days. I grew up in the Pembina E-Free Church, right up on the border, on the last town on the Red River, and my hometown is Cavalier, where there was a free church planted when my wife and I were newly married. So just lots of connections, and lots of, you've got some Thief River people in our church in Bemidji. Anybody know the Erickson clan? Bunch of medical people, and now there's a Tronfit that has come that's related. So, okay. So I think Kevin Complin has three first cousins in our church family. So pretty neat connection. Also bring you, make sure I've got my thing right here. Bring your greetings from Oak Hills, where my wife and I have been on staff for over 20 years now, and where we met a long time ago. And you've had Thief River people part of Oak Hills way back, and now most recently in Cade and in Emma graduating. And if anybody remembers Mike Adamick from New Folden, he interned here under Pastor Kevin. And he's a dear friend as well. But I bring you greetings from Oak Hills. In your bulletin, Pastor Kevin allowed us to stuff something in there. Wherever I put my bulletin, it's in here somewhere. There's a little insert. Just check something out on your own. You might find something that you did not realize was a ministry resource that you could utilize that's there. And this is just a picture of our homepage, and that lake, as of yesterday morning, is free of 10 northerns. I'm making it safe for swimmers. I can't catch a walleye for nothing, but I can catch northerns. So. And then this is the group of graduates from this spring. In our camp as well. Sometimes we can forget, what camp do you use? Is it Camp Chaminade? Okay. The value of camp ministry. When I was growing up, we would go to Cooperstown Bible Camp. Go swim in the muddy Cheyenne River. Yeah. I wouldn't dare go in there now, you know. We'd sneak out at night out of the cabin to go, I don't know what we were thinking. We heard last Sunday at the Cavalier E-Free Church, their camp ministry, again, is Cooperstown Bible Camp that they use. This is our Oak Hills camp where my wife grew up attending. The Free Church in Cavalier said they average 12 to 15 children and youth coming to Christ per summer. Are we burdened for evangelism? My word, let's not forget about the value of camp ministry. Just amazing. And at our camp, including Red Lake Children, as Aaron was talking about. This is our native ministry team that David Anderson's a part of. Those of you who got to hear David speak, I saw on your website, he was here a couple weeks ago. He was friends with our son in high school. He's been in our home as a teenager. My wife was at his wedding. My wife was his wife's small group leader in our church. His dad's in our church family. We're very excited for David. He is currently the only Native American pastor in our Evangelical Free Church in our Central District, which brings responsibility and pressure. So pray for him. That's a big role, and we're excited for him. Thank you for your generosity to help and encourage him and his wife. And they're looking for housing. If you need something to pray about this week, pray we can find a house that David Anderson and his wife and family can rent for this summer, for this next year. And this is the Rural Certificate Program in our church ministry department that I co-lead, that Mike Adamick was a part of. We're struggling to find pastors for rural America. Thief River Falls and Bemidji are big enough. We can probably draw some people yet. But my little hometown of Cavalier or Pembina, where I grew up, or where my wife grew up in Solway on Highway 2, they're struggling. This is a way we're training lay leaders to be rural pastors. They already know the community. They already know how to drive a tractor. They don't just have a John Deere hat. They can drive one of 200 horse or higher, right? They understand the culture, and they can relate to the people. So this is a new thing we've been doing the last 6 years, training lay leaders to become rural pastors, and it's probably the most fun I've ever had in my 20-some years at Oak Hills. I left some information with Aaron about that. I know Pastor Kevin would like to partner more if we can. I want to focus today on this topic, and I understand your topic last week was on sending. You paid attention to your dad's sermon, okay? And I saw that title. He gave me some great info on that, on sending graduates, sending us out into our communities and our world as representatives of Jesus. I want to talk about how can we bless our communities. Sometimes the church gets bashed, right? Sometimes the church is viewed as a liability or it's either negative or at 50-50, maybe at best. How can we bless our communities where the community sees that the church is an asset? That's the way it was originally. When our denomination founded, we saw the need, we responded to the need. And somehow that can slip, that first love can slip. So in your area, your community, your county, our Northwest region and beyond, and it's not rural versus metro, it's both, right? How many of you that live in this area got a family member lives in the Twin Cities? A few, okay? We've got some too, right? Who don't wanna move back. But it's just both. And we gotta love our Canadian neighbors too, right? The church in Pembina, we had Manitoba people that came to our church. It was good to grow up with them. So I wanna talk about that. If you would, turn in your Bible. I'll give you the scripture so you can see it in your version. I've got my version up here because I don't have an ESV Bible. So I wanna read to you from Jeremiah 29. I don't know when the last time is you read Jeremiah. It's kind of a tough book. I've just read the first six books of the Old Testament myself and recently for a class. It was a good reminder. This morning I read these three chapters around this and just a good refresher. Let me read this with you. I think it's got some great things for us to think about. And I notice in other people's messages it keeps coming up. And so I think that's from the Lord. So Jeremiah 29, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So they're in exile. They're prisoners of war. They had a whole bunch of relatives die. Maybe not time for funerals. Okay, we kind of forget what exile is. We're not in exile today, folks. These people really were prisoners of war. Mourning the death of their community. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Do you ever think the world's getting so messed up? I'm 61. You ever think the world's so messed up that if you're going to have a family again, you wouldn't have children? Anybody ever admit that? We all admit grandkids are the best, right? We just had a new one announced. Woo-hoo! It's coming in our family just this last couple days. But if we know they're so fun, we'd have had them first, right? But sometimes we're like, man, this world is so broken. I don't know if I'd bring... you know what? That's not biblical. These were prisoners of war in exile. We're not in exile today. We still have citizenship and right. What if we'd have lost World War II? My dad was a World War II vet. What if we'd have lost? Change our mindset. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. There were false prophets that were lying to him. And then this is the passage we know so well, but we've often missed this first part. This might have even been shared last Sunday on a graduation Sunday. It was at the Cavalier at Free Church last Sunday. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And it just continues on. God is not mean. He's good. I think sometimes, though, we've been focused on this last paragraph and we've missed the prior part. I was telling Aaron before, my heart in this message has been sometimes we're stuck in the waiting for heaven, waiting for things to improve. Maybe we don't see the improvement. The Lord continues to tarry. What are we supposed to do now? What are we supposed to do now when we see hard things around us? What should the church be? Your church, the Cavalier Church, our church in Bemidji, and our other, as Kevin Compton has called it, sister denominations. I appreciate that he doesn't have just a free church-only mindset, but other believers in the Lord. What should we be doing now? That's what I want to focus on. Think about Jeremiah's context. They've been destroyed. They're captives again, as I've mentioned. There's false prophets promoting false hope. The two chapters before are about false prophets. In the Bible, when there's a false prophet, usually God deals with a false prophet by his stuff doesn't come true or he dies. So right at the end of chapter 28, this false prophet with a different name dies. God puts him to death because he's not telling the truth. We've got some of that false prophet stuff today. We got to be really careful. I'm on the elder board at our Bemidji church, and sometimes we'll get someone saying, oh, pastors and elders, boy, I'm hearing this great message online. We kind of approach that going, are you discerning about what's online? Can we tell you about the resources that we have, that our denomination has or our district has? Or can we vet that for you? Just to make sure, be careful. There's false prophets then, there's false prophets today. Even in this Psalm 79, imagine this as the Psalms was a hymn book. Imagine this one being put to a tune. Worship team, you think we could do this? Oh God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have given the dead bodies of your servants as food to the birds of the air, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. It'd be like us driving today, and the roadkill is human. And we have to wait for these. We almost whacked a young eagle yesterday, just windshield height. Blew up. He just got out of the way just in the last bit of time. That's how bad it was. We're not in that situation now. There are people around the world who are. We're not here in the United States of America. But that's how tough it was. So what were their options? I can identify four options. And there's another author, a Free Church pastor from California named Larry Osborne. His book's called Thriving in Babylon. He talks about this as well. They could assimilate, compromise, and become like the Babylonians. Do the Babylonian outfit, do everything. Just change their values. No longer honor the Creator God. They could isolate. We're prone to both of these still today. We swing. They could fight back. Well, that's not going to work very well because they get overpowered. They already tried that, and they could not defend themselves. They'd be overpowered. Babylon is the world power of the day. Or what Jeremiah says, the Lord says through Jeremiah is, I don't want you to do either one of those three. I want you to turn around and bless them, even though you're a prisoner of war, even though you're a captive, even though they killed your relatives. I want you to bless them. I want you to raise your family, not hunker down. Increase in number there, do not decrease, and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. They didn't want to bless Babylon. They wanted to blast Babylon. We can feel like this too. Get angry. Wait a minute. What would our role be in Cavalier, Thief River, Bemidji if we were blessing our community? I think you are in many ways already from what I've already been hearing. Let me share some of these ideas with you. There are some examples in the Old Testament of people that I believe were living this way, that lived it out. These individuals, Daniel, vice president of three pagan kings, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Beni, Esther, queen, Mordecai, her uncle, under the Persian Empire, Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer for the king. Anybody know what a cupbearer was? You got a bottle of water, or sometimes, I remember my church in Pembina, someone put the pastor would have a water glass under here, someone put a little alligator in it one time. So he gets it out and like, the cupbearer was one to find out whether it was poison or not. Nope, it's good. Security, right? And then Joseph in his role, his brothers all hated him. Maybe only one tried to save him, it sounds like. And he ends up becoming a vice president, the prime minister of Egypt to save his family during a famine. Amazing. They lived it out. They did it. They blessed these conquering countries. They weren't fighting back. They weren't isolating. They weren't becoming, blending in. They were godly examples. There are others. Think about your community's context. You know it much better than my wife and I do. What's your Thief River Falls, your county? Is it Pennington County, am I right? Paying attention to all the signs. What's your community's history and strengths? Somehow there's a thief in the history, right? Why is War Road called War Road? It's the road that the Sioux and the Ojibwe traveled back and forth to fight each other, right? Why is Bemidji called Bemidji? Because there was a guy named Chief Bemidji. It means the way the water, the Mississippi crosses through the lake. There's some kind of history. Is it rural, urban, or urban? Urban's not a misprint. Anybody ever heard that word before? It's about mindset, not about geography. Is Thief River Falls a rural or an urban context? Go ahead. What do you think? Rural? Anybody think urban? I have a sister-in-law who lives in Fargo. She calls it a metro area. I'm like, Fargo? What? You drive to the airport, you drive by a bunch of cows. I mean, it's growing, it's changing, but really? It's not like the Twin Cities. It's not like Chicago. Urban is a mix. It's a mix of cultures. And you can get in conflict. It can be my father's mindset would have been, and on the farm would have been, we better be conservative because we could have some bad more years. My brother's mindset, growing on the same farm, would be, we better act now or somebody else is going to do it. That's a different mindset, and it can be in conflict. It's our boss, Marty Geese, who picked that coin. And who's living here now? You've got Spanish names on the bathrooms. I had to make sure I went in the right one. I had to go by the picture this morning. Is that an inheritance or from the school days? Or did you put those there? But good. We have to think about who's living there, right? When I go back to help my friends that I grew up with in Pembina, I'll show a picture later, do sugar beet harvest, I'm a minority on their crew. And we have to know which guys are bilingual in Spanish and English to translate the information. Who's living there now? It could have changed. What's the community's issues and needs? You know, and maybe it's something you've talked about already. Here's an example in Bemidji, okay? Because I know this better. Here's something about our area. Where it's a growing rural regional center. It would be urban. It's a tourism destination. Man, the traffic picks up in the summer. Or try to get a hotel. Very competitive. 3 Native American reservations around us. David being a member of the Red Lake Nation and his family. Sanford Health, public education, regional government stuff, growing business community. So those things in those regional centers come there. A college town. Paul, our internet is great, which is not normal for rural. And then strong networking, because there's so many problems, nobody can solve them all themselves. that's part of it. But here's some of our issues and needs. Our poverty level is high. Our county or the neighboring counties usually rank the top in the state for the percentage of people living below poverty level. That was a shock to our North Central District staff when I was explaining that to one of them. Hennepin would be the other. And even the home ownership rate is low compared to other communities. So lots of renters. We've got a grad who lives in Crookston who is working online as a banker, selling short-term loans to people to make their rent. Not going to work. Just as a cost of stuff. Crime is high. We've got drug and sex trafficking in our Bemidji area, our region. The jail has trouble. We have to build a new one because we had to. We've got the impact upon the families. My wife just was helping in our public school just since commencement, just helping out a little bit, see a grandson while he's at his grade school. And she was in a class for children with autism, 3 levels. And it's increasing, the children that have this need. And what's it coming from? And then just the growing things around inflation. So there's major challenges. Think about, though, in the early church, if we were living at 100 AD, and we knew somebody who had actually known an apostle or maybe actually seen Jesus, we had that firsthand eyewitness experience, and then we're trying to live out our faith, we're not in control, the Roman government's tough, there's a crazy guy named Nero, and then some sickness hit. There were two major plagues in the early church era that wiped out about 25% of the known world's population. This author, who grew up in Jamestown, North Dakota, Rodney Stark, now with the Lord, talks in this book, how about was the Christians, not in some organized, programmatic way, but because Jesus touched lepers and cared for women and children, that they reached out because their Lord had. And if someone got sick in these communities, even their family would flee. They didn't know what it was. And the Christians would come in and help them and maybe get some of the sickness, but sometimes they were just dying because of dehydration. The church grew because of an outreach during 2 plagues. You want to have an effective outreach? They did. Grew amazingly, particularly with women and children. So here's some other biblical principles, scriptures to think about in terms of community outreach. And I think this might tie with the sending message from last week. Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So be discerning, right? Colossians 3, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Doesn't leave anything out. What you and I do tomorrow, do it that way. What we do Thursday, do it that way. Everywhere. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For whatever age, okay, whether you just graduated high school or whether you're in your 60s and up. So then, how can we bless our communities? Let me get to some of the details. I'm a farm kid. I need to be practical. How do I run this thing? What do I do? How do I not spill grain? How do I get to the right field and get back to where I'm supposed to? So here's again some more principles. How can we bless our communities? Remember, evangelism, disciple making is a process. Not going to pick on any instruments, but if your stage, not picking on the keyboard, if the keyboard's a minus 12 from Jesus, and the cross is decision point, and over here is a fully mature Christian with a guitar, okay, plus 12. Is it progress if you and I, by the Lord's strength, by the Holy Spirit's direction, help a friend or a family member move from being a minus 12 who wants to go that way from Jesus, if we help them to move to a minus 10? Yeah. You know anybody like that? It is. It's a process. It's a process. I still remember a sermon. We got to go serve in suburban Chicago. That's why I was asking, where you guys lived in Illinois before your family came here. And I remember a missions conference and someone saying, who would you be the most shocked if they came to Christ in your life? Oh, I knew who he was. I played basketball and football with him. He was the most pagan person I've ever met. Public high school, Cavalier. Well, I ran back into him when we hit about 40. He had a heart attack. And I told him, Jay, I'm praying for you. And he's like, thanks. I really need prayer. That's progress versus I don't want your prayer. You know, that's movement. That's a little bit of movement. And that's part of help somebody take that next step. Sometimes we're always looking for the three-pointer or the home run. Help them take a next step. Remember, being salt and light, one gospel, don't split it up. The U.S. American Evangelical Church is U.S. white church is the one that split it up, not the church in Africa. It's one gospel, Jesus' gospel. We got to demonstrate it, show it, and proclaim it. We got to think like a missionary. Anybody ever heard that before, think like a missionary? Who I heard that from was Kevin Complin. I'm hanging on to that. Whether we're in Africa or northern Minnesota, think like a missionary. We understand that. That mindset. To your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And every member of minister, not just the church staff. So here's four ways. First one. And you can hear the sounds of it right here. Bless your community through our personal and family lives. If I'm a jerk, my family thinks I'm a jerk, I ain't gonna bless anybody. Right? It starts with our families. It's wonderful to have the sounds of children and multi-generational. We see that, my wife and I can see that real quickly in your church family here. This is our crew that's being expanded. We're grateful for that. So that's where it begins. And sometimes that seems like, oh, duh, but some people seem to forget it. They're emotionally healthy, mostly unhealthy, and they're trying to do ministry. We got to be emotionally healthy as an individual, spiritually healthy, and as a family member, whatever the Lord gives you for family. The second thing, bless your community through our church's ministry programs and partners. That's another one where you're like, duh. Your church has many ministry programs and partners, I bet. Our church in Bemidji, on the elder board, we're trying to make sure everything's aligned properly. We think we have 80 ministries. 80 ministries? How many do you think you have? Yikes! That's a lot to organize, right? There's not much time left over to think about anything else. Or maybe even money. That's a lot. So we're trying to make sure we're paying attention. And you got limits within your volunteer, your budget, your facility. And what I mentioned earlier, be an asset to our communities, not a liability. How does the community view us? Here in Bemidji, how do they view us? I was at a meeting in Bemidji a couple years ago at the Sanford Center where the hockey games happen. And the name of the group that gathered was about 100 community leaders. And the name of the group was called Raising Bemidji. And it was being led by some recovering juvenile detention center workers. Anybody work in that field? Okay. We've got a young man in Crookston. He's serving at the juvenile detention center there. And he said everything's drug related, whether it's the young person took drugs or the parents did drugs. It's all that. And these people were trying to figure out how can we make sure to send that person back home, that young person back home, and they don't go right back to the mess they were in before. So what can we do earlier to raise these kids? And we were asked to introduce ourselves by sector. And I was one of three ministry leaders in the room. And we had to stand up, introduce ourselves real quickly. And someone spoke up in the back of the room and said, "Why do we got to invite pastors and missionaries to this meeting?" I just said something. You want to just kind of duck, right? And the veteran juvenile detention center worker said, "You know what? Our community has so many problems. We need everybody to help." And by the way, how many of you are part of a local church? Half the hands in the room went up, including at the table I was sitting at, our county administrator and our sheriff. And I had to say, praise God for the Catholics, at least right now. they have influence. And it was like, can we move on and see that the church can be an asset? Unfortunately, that group was a short-term thing for whatever reason, but it was a privilege to be there and see how was the church viewed and what opportunities is the Lord giving your church and our denomination. As we know, we've got a new opportunity in Red Lake. There's a lot going on. Even just in Bemidji, probably a third of the Bemidji's population are native people. I know this from our one native city council member. So here's a way. This is our church. And yes, the roof needs to be redone. And it looks like the Star Trek Enterprise. So what's your church look like from above? You look like this. We don't look like a building. I wish we had a picture of our church that looks like you guys. But is the church, we got a lot to do. And there's a lot of stuff going on within the church building, but what about outside of it? Here's our family of churches in our North Central District. I see that posted up in your hallway. That's great. I try to remind the ones in the Twin Cities, don't forget about Greater Minnesota. Don't forget about us. Here's something that we have done at Oak Hills and with our church and our Native ministry. We've hosted this National Native Ministry Conference. If we do one again, I don't know what our plan is, but we'll make sure you're aware of it. And David was at this one. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, hosted in our church building. My wife leads Grief Share. Anybody know what Grief Share is? She's been leading it for 10 years. And just to help people in crisis, in their biggest crisis of their life. Tremendous way to be a minister. And now it's a formal ministry of our church, which is great. Teammates and I have realized there's a need for training in rural ministry. We partner with a church and ministry down in Alexandria. We host this Rural Impact Leadership Conference. Done it 4 years now. Everything recorded like you guys do here. And by the way, this camera's crazy because it's moving on its own. That's very, very interesting. My hometown does a Christian music festival. People I meet from Grand Forks and Fargo say, why are they doing it here? Why aren't they doing it there? Well, it's because this group of friends who love Jesus from different churches and have some access to some funding said, let's do it. It's been going for 10 years. If you come, I'll let you in at the gate. We do security by border patrol. I'm probably the only one not armed. it's very safe. It's very good. Ren Collective is coming. Just in the Cavalier City Park. Maybe something could even be done here. Just amazing. A wonderful way that we can, and the churches are partnering together. Celebrate Recovery. Probably every rural county in our region needs a Celebrate Recovery group. Just because of the struggle with drug addiction. So those are some samples of that. Okay, what can be done? Okay, don't feel like you got to do everything. You're doing lots. Our church again having 80 programs. Oh my! But are there needs that maybe we're not addressing? And is there a way that the Lord would help address that need to bless our community? So the next one. A lot of times we don't get to this one. We kind of stop with family and church. One of my former lay elders said to me one time, he said, our Bemidji E-Free Church, again, I love the EFCA. We love our home church. I grew up in one, okay? This lay elder said to me, our church only speaks to me as a husband, as a father, as a volunteer, and a donor. What's wrong with that? Those things are important. Being a dad, being a husband, okay, our personal family life, being a volunteer, we need help, and we got to fund it. What about his work? Where do you spend the majority of your time if you're employed? There, right? Farming, we had 40 hours in by Wednesday noon. I remember when our son graduated high school, he said, "Dad, I don't want to work this summer. I'm going to take the summer off." I'm like, "What?" I'm coming from a farm background going, that wasn't even an option. Dad and grandpa needed me. There was something to do. It's through our work. There was work in Genesis 1 and 2 before the fall. Work's not bad. Work's good. Whatever your role is, employer, employee, student, retirement, there's been a whole work as worship movement. These books up here, Tom Nelson, Free Church pastor in Kansas City, Every Good Endeavor, wonderful resource to read. Urban in mindset, okay, but connecting Sunday worship to midday, to Monday work. And Tim Keller, who's now with the Lord. But a lot of times we forget this. In my own church, I would say, hardly ever does someone in the pulpit acknowledge their work. We've had in the past two lay elders who would preach in the past. And one of them was the head of the BCA. Anybody know what that is? Any law enforcement people in here? So the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension had only a Twin Cities site for a long time. And then they realized there was so much crime in northern Minnesota, they needed to open a northern site. And they opened one in Bemidji. And they sent our friend Terry Smith to start it. His worst crime was in Lancaster. I'm sorry if this touches anybody's nerves. We were in Chicago at the time. Young girl abducted rollerblading. Didn't solve her crime for 10 years. North of here. I remember we moved to our farm and our oldest daughter said, "Dad, I'd like to go out to the highway and rollerblade." "No, you're not. You can walk on the gravel road with a dog or a neighbor, but you're not going out there to do that. Not safe." They sent my friend Terry to do that. Our friend Terry. And he loves Jesus. And all he did was investigate homicides. Would we rather have a pagan doing that, an atheist, or someone who loves Jesus? And I'm sitting on the elder board with him going, we're deciding whether we're going to have a homeless shelter in our church. I'm thinking compassion, kindness. He's thinking safety, security. Oh, maybe we should integrate this. Maybe we should trust the person with expertise in this field. So think about that. Your work is an act of worship, not worshiping work. But I encouraged Terry when he spoke. I said, "Terry, acknowledge your career. Don't dwell on it." So the next time he preached, he said, "Yeah, I was a cop for 30 years. And suddenly the guy who came with his wife, who was dragged to church, who didn't really want to be there, woke up. This is not a pastor talking to me. This is a retired law enforcement guy. Minnesota Police Officer of the Year one time. Here's some things to think about. I think there's three sectors of work. There's the business for profit. Some of you are in. There's the human services, government, education, nonprofit. That's kind of lumped together. It's pretty large sometimes. And then there's the ministry, church and ministry sector, which is kind of small. And rarely do we get all three to work together. But all of them should be doing whatever you do. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. When they do work together, think about where did these people work? Which sector? Business? Human services or ministry? How about Daniel? Was he a pastor or missionary? He worked in government. Isn't that crazy? Changes your mindset. All these people were working in government and not selling out. Representing the Creator God well. Here's my background. That's our family farm with flax that year. I go back and help these friends dig sugar beets that need help. They need help at harvest. Anybody saying amen? It's hard to find enough help. Like to run stuff. Help my next door neighbor. He's like my kid brother. Get his sunflowers off that year. And we need help. This is my older brother, and this is a pastor friend. Named Everest Buzanga, and my brother, they're part of a church in Fargo. They were renting the church building out to this man's church, a Congolese refugee congregation, at 2:00 on Sundays, and going to cancel the contract, the rental contract, because somebody was spilling red Kool-Aid or something, you know? And my brother and his son-in-law came back, walked into the building, and they were the only two white people in the room going, "What just happened?" They got invited up to the stage. The first time there, they in their own building, they end up on the worship team going, "Lord, what are you doing?" Evers was led to Christ in Zaire by a female Scandinavian missionary as a child, has a one-year Bible degree from a school in Nairobi, Kenya, and came to Fargo as a refugee through Lutheran Social Services because of the Rwandan genocide. And yet the churches, even our E-Free churches in Fargo-Moorhead, were standoffish to him. He looked Muslim. No, he loves Jesus. He's hard to understand. Dear friend, one of our Oak Hill students now in our Rural Certificate program, my brother started this company because of Everest, of these refugees who wanted to work. They didn't want to be in war zones anymore. They didn't want to be in a refugee camp. And seeing the labor shortage, just to see what would happen. It's pretty tough right now in the work world with immigration. But that's his calling by God to work on that. So through our personal family lives, our churches, ministries, and programs, our work as an act of worship, and lastly, bless our community through our community's programs and leaders. A lot of times we're thinking about the down and out, the homeless, the people that need our help at the food shelf, but what about that leader that's got the pressure on them? What about them? Encourage and acknowledge, support them, volunteer on their boards. Anybody on a community board in here? Have you reached your limit? I think the limit's 3. My wife would agree. Church elder board and then 2 community boards. I'm maxed out. But not everybody has to do it all. What can we do together? Network and resource them, pray for them and their mission, represent Jesus amongst them. Who's praying for your mayor? Maybe the mayor's in the room, I don't know. Who's praying for your mayor? Who's praying for your city council? Who's praying for your county administrator? Who's praying for your sheriff? Who's praying for the head of your jail? Who's praying for your school superintendent? Wouldn't it be great if they knew there were some people praying for them? I'm a member of, I gotta jump one more slide here, I guess. Whoop, we'll back up one. This one somehow got missed. I'm a member of Bemidji's Rotary Club. Anybody know what Rotary is? Rotary began in Chicago after the Chicago fire when 3 businessmen began to rotate where they met for lunch to figure out how they could rebuild their community. Man, it would have been great if a Christian would have been at the table, right? I don't know if they were, but I'm at the table at this one. About 2 weeks ago, I'm at our Rotary meeting. I had a chance to connect with our Bemidji School District Superintendent, who's become a friend. And I said, Jeremy, I'm praying for you. And he's like, thank you. I need it every day. And I am. And I want him to know that. I don't want to hide it. And I think he loves the Lord and needs to know that there's people praying for him who are godly people. Through Rotary and other things, I'm involved with a group that's trying to address sex trafficking. In Bemidji, I don't know if this is an experience for you guys in Thief River Falls. Bemidji, a couple years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, we were starting to see it in the paper, sting operations. And I got to know some of these people been involved. Our police chief is the one who said we have a problem. And he approached our police chief, Mike, and he approached an officer named Heather and said, Heather, I want you to learn how to do this. Both of them love Jesus. Heather's probably got the toughest job I've ever seen. She's from my wife's home church that my wife grew up in. And they're attacking this issue. We got to know what to do. We got to keep it safe for our families. And we got to care for the perpetrator too. Switch to jail ministry, right? We need to. Suicide prevention and training. You got to know when there's a crisis. What do you do? Here's the number, okay? I help with some training for that. And make sure that information's available here if not already. Our community food shelf, we were talking to a friend this morning that's on the helps with your food shelf. I'm on our food shelf board in Bemidji. Man, are we busy. There's so much need. We can grow food like crazy in our agricultural area, but just get it to the people that need it. That's another way. But don't let this not become a ministry. Stay involved. Our church helped found this 40 years ago, but we've pulled back and said it's not gospel-centered. I'm like, wait a minute. The gospel goes with me everywhere. If I'm there, the gospel's there. Doesn't mean I get to say everything every time, right? Do you as a parent get to say everything every time? The gospel's there, and it's ready when needed. Ruby's Pantry, another food ministry that we're involved with. My wife's cousin leads that. Just lots of need in our area. How can we bless our communities? These are these four ways that I see in the text. Through our personal and our family lives, through our church's ministry programs and partners, through our work as an act of worship, and through our community's programs and leaders. Let me just read that verse again. Then I think we're moving to communion. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Thank you.